flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It is 12:07. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Now, I'm going to just tell you, I am a mother of four. And so my shift begins at 12 o'clock. It is over at 3 o'clock. So I'm usually walking in the door at 12:02 because I know the news is on and Al Shock is going to be in the newsroom and Josh is going to be pressing buttons and putting extra commercials in if I'm running just a little bit late. But today I was here at 11:30. I put snacks from Nosh Posh in the break room. If you have not had Nosh Posh, she is a local African-American female entrepreneur and she makes the best wholesome snacks. So I bought a big box of Nosh Posh and I put it in the break room and I brought bottled water and I brought new magazines and some flowers. And not because it was Josh's birthday. That's not what it was. I know he came running because he thought, no, not you, bro. It wasn't for your birthday. Sorry. Happy birthday. But it wasn't for your birthday. It wasn't for your birthday. It is because Terrence Howard, Academy Award nominee, two-time NAACP Image Award winner, will be in the studio with me today on The Shaletta Show. He's in town for the Twin Cities Film Festival, had a brand new indie film make its premiere in front of a live audience for the first time last night. I was there. We got pictures together. You know, I done already put it on a T-shirt to give him when he gets here, right? Because you know your girl does not sleep. Okay. And y'all don't want to miss it. He is coming up at 1:30. But before we get to Terrence Howard, we got to start talking about voting. And while everybody else is talking about the presidential election and Dean Phillips has tossed his hat into the ring and then he had a Twitter account and the Twitter account got suspended and can Biden actually beat Trump and is Trump going to be able to run and will he get, the majority of the Republicans to back him over DeSantis? That's a year or so away. We got some local elections coming up in days that are going to really impact our community. And so we need to be talking about that. So joining me now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline is Lydia McComas from Hennepin County Voter Engagement. Lydia, thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show.
Thanks for having me, Shaletta. Really excited to be here.
Now, I just really need to talk to you because everybody wants to talk about the election year that's coming up, but we've got an election coming up on November 7th. That's just like in less than 2 weeks.
Yes, yes, we do. We've got lots of local elections on November 7th. Some communities have elections this year, some don't. We've got around 8 cities in Hennepin County and 13 school districts holding elections. So we really want to get out the word and get people voting.
And, you know, I want to make sure that people know exactly which things they're going to be voting for, what's impacting their community, especially in Hennepin County, one of our largest counties here in the Twin Cities. You know, I go to Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church, and, you know, whenever there's a big election, we like to say big elections and small elections, but really, if there's an election, there is an election. And, you know, we always see the candidates coming in, and we see all the yard signs, and, you know, there's not a lot of fanfare, but these elections, especially the one on November 7th, they still make a difference.
Yep, they're very important. So Minneapolis has, everyone in Minneapolis has an election, city council members. And then in other cities, there are mayoral elections, ballot questions, city council, and then there's lots of school district races too. People can find out if they have an election this year at mnvotes.gov/myballot. And they can find out that information at mnvotes.gov.
And I was just going to ask you, you know, when we're educating ourselves and we go to mnvotes.gov, what can we expect to see?
Yeah, so you can find out information on your registration. You can see if you're registered. You can see your polling place, so at Poll Finder. You can see where you vote, if you vote. And then you can also see what exactly is on your ballot. You can see your sample ballot. So you can see exactly what you'll see at the polling place, which is really helpful. And you can actually bring that in with you to vote if you'd like. So that's what you can see. And there's also a lot of other information on mnvotes.gov about how elections work. So it's a great site, a great resource to have.
Now, later on in the show, I'm going to be talking to someone from Power of People Leadership Institute. If that name sounds familiar, it's Dr. Verna Price and her husband, Brother Shane Price's organization. And they were instrumental in the legislation that gave former felons the right to vote. So there are some people, Lydia, who are coming to vote for the very first time. And this is going to be a very different atmosphere, a very different experience for them. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so that's something that we've been working on this year. As a lot of people know, the Restore the Vote Act went into effect on June 1st this year, and that gave 55,000 Minnesotans the right to vote. And those are people who are on felony probation and parole who now are able to vote. And in Hennepin County, that's 16,000 people now have that voter eligibility. And so we're really trying to get the word out. It is sometimes a complicated law because that law is different state to state. But we want to make sure that people know that if they're in Minnesota, this is where they live, this is where they vote, that they can exercise that right as long as they are not currently in prison, not currently incarcerated. So we're getting the word out. We've got signs on buses. We've got social media ads. We've got flyers, handouts. We're really trying to get the word out. So I really appreciate you having me on and trying to get that word out.
Now, I had Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon on my podcast. And one of the things that he and I were talking about, another new thing, is that 16 and 17-year-olds can pre-register to vote. Talk to me about that, because I haven't talked about it on my show. But I did a whole podcast about it, and I was absolutely amazed and hurry up and got my 17-year-old's butt up and got him pre-registered to vote.
Yeah. So that's another exciting law. Also went into effect on June 1st. So 16 and 17-year-olds, they can pre-register to vote. That's a great way for them to get involved. It's pre-registration, so they're not fully registered yet, but that means that they'll be automatically registered once they're 18. So that's a great way for them to get involved, get ready, get prepared, and then they don't need to do anything before they are 18. They can just go into the polling place when they turn 18 and vote. I know I didn't get my driver's license until after I was 18, a little late bloomer there.
You too, girl. My mama was like, we don't want you on them streets, Shaletta. No, the world is not ready. I didn't get my license till I was almost 20.
Exactly. Yeah, me too. So that's a great way for those youth to get registered because and get prepared for when they're able to vote at 18.
Speaking of my kids, girl. I have to ask you, I have always taken them with me to vote, and I'm trying not to get choked up, because whenever I go to vote, I cry. And I've shared this with Dean Phillips. I've shared this with Steve Simon. I'm going to share it with you in case somebody hasn't heard it. But I get in line and I think about Fannie Lou Hamer and how Fannie Lou Hamer was trying to help black people pass the test to vote in rural Mississippi. And they put her in prison for that and beat her all night. And the next day she went out and she didn't stop doing what she was doing. She kept helping people to study to pass the voter registration test. And so when I'm standing in line, I cry because I'm free. There's mm-hmm. not anybody outside of that voting area waiting with a burning cross. Nobody's at my house threatening my family to keep me from voting. I don't get mean, threatening calls in the middle mm-hmm. of the night. And so I always take my children with me. And I remember the first couple of times I said, Mama, why are you crying? What is wrong? And I said, honey, we're standing between two people. And we have just as much right to cast our vote as they do. And it's a teachable moment for me. And you know, I bring my kids to the polls. And sometimes we're a little distracted because, you know, I got these autistic kids and they want to read everything, girl. And they just want to talk to people, you know. But is it okay to bring your kids to the polls when you go to vote?
Definitely, yeah. You've got me a little choked up. Yeah, yes, you can definitely bring your kids to vote. You can bring your helpers. You can bring, and it's a great way to sort of start that habit young, as it sounds like you're doing. That's awesome. So yes, you can definitely bring your kiddos to come vote with you. If you need interpretive services or maybe somebody who helps you fill out the ballot, maybe you're unable to fill out the ballot yourself, you can also bring those people, as long as nobody is sure, making too much of a distraction in the polling place. That is totally fine. You can bring folks in with you to vote, and we encourage it.
Well, I am so grateful that you took some of your Saturday, girl. This is Saturday. This is supposed to be your off day, and you are hanging out with me on the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. Lydia McComas has been joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, and she is with Hennepin County Election. You can vote right now or go to your polling place on November 7th. It's an odd year, but it is still important. Lydia, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Shaletta. And if folks have other questions, they can go to mnvotes.gov.
All right, y'all heard it here first. We'll be right back. We could do it. So we call Avenue Shirts in St. Paul, right off White Bear in Arlington. And the grumpiest and greatest guy took care of us. And Miss Jen has flown in here on the ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com helicopter, landed on top of the building, and she was here with my shirt, Miss Jen.
Special delivery.
Oh, my God, Miss Jen. Okay. So first of all, how much did you love the grumpy old man who works at Avenue Shirt?
I adored him. He scared me a little bit at first.
He's a little scary at first.
A little on the gruff side,
but he warmed up.
We talked about the business has been there, I think he said, for 35 years.
Oh, my God.
And that it started in his basement doing embroidery as a hobby because his wife wanted him to stay busy and leave her alone because she's not a morning person. And so now he said he should have retired a long time ago, but instead he gets up in these cold days and heads to the shop because then he's out of his wife's way and she has time to drink her coffee and wake up.
I love it. And, you know, he is just he is just amazing because most t-shirt shops are closed right now. They're not open on Saturdays. And so if you go and you look on Google and you try to go through t-shirt shops, everything says opens Monday at 10 a.m. And I'm like, I need this shirt today. I need this shirt right now. In order for me to pull this off, this shirt got to be done. So we created the graphic. We got it all squared away. We got it together. And we're finna have the big reveal. Josh, are you ready? You got to get the camera ready. Hold on, Miss Jen, because I got to get my camera ready, too. Because
right.
We are about to get the big reveal of what they were able to do in 1 hour's time. So that when Terrence Howard comes up here to the Shaletta. Hold on. I got to get my phone ready. So when Terrence Howard comes up here to the Shaletta Show, this is the t-shirt that I am going to give him.
Okay, ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, it looks...
looks amazing. Isn't they did a great awesome? Job. Oh, my God. I love it.
How happy are you?
I'm very happy. Okay.
Good.
Okay. I can't wait for him to see it. Okay. He's going to get that. He's going to get copies of my kids' books. He probably going to think I'm a stalker, but I don't care. I even took the picture that we took together last night, and I went by Michael's, and I got a frame for it.
I love it.
Josh is shaking his head no, because I'm always on 10, Josh, okay? I don't do anything just like a little bit. It's always, it's 0 or 10. It's 0 or 10. So the reason that I got a chance to meet him, let me back all the way up, is because about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was at the Black Business Enterprises Ball. Remember that?
I remember.
And so they had an auction item where you get to meet Terrence Howard. And so I grabbed my paddle or somebody's paddle. I don't know who paid for it, but I grabbed the paddle and I start bidding. And Nancy Corso was trying to outbid me because she wanted the intimate meet and greet with Terrence
Howard. I was concerned for her safety.
I was too. And you know what I did? If George Shearer is listening, because he's my wrestling buddy in here, he's my wrestling buddy in the Twin Cities. I grew up watching Paul Bosch Houston Wrestling, Junkyard Dog, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Ted DiBiase, the Von Erichs. I grew up doing the figure four leg lock, jumping off the rope, the Von Erich Iron Claw. So I know that Nancy probably has more money than me, right? And I knew that she could outbid me, okay? So what I did is I couldn't dig in her pocket and take her money. So what I did was I jumped on her back, and I have pictured this to prove it. And I put my legs around her arms so that I could hold her arms down so she could not bid. And I won the bid. And so because I won the bid, I got to meet Terrence Howard. And because I got to meet Terrence Howard, he gets to come on this show. Can you tell I'm a little bit excited, Miss Jen?
I love it. I think it's meant to be.
I do too.
You earned this hard.
Girl,
I got
brought up on charges for this.
Right.
I got brought up on charges. She filed assault charges on me. That is assault. Do you see my leg around her arm? She cannot move. This was so for real.
I was worried I was going to have to bail you out and you would have been stuck there.
Oh my God. This. You have just saved me. I wanted to do this. I wanted to gift this to Terrence Howard. And I'm so glad that you and your beautiful daughter, Lily, who I'm meeting for the first time, drove all the way to downtown Minneapolis to drop these shirts off. I wish I could tell you how much I wouldn't have been able to pull it off without you. So when we see Terrence Howard on Instagram or Facebook or social media somewhere and he's wearing that shirt, know that you are playing a part in that, girl.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it was
my pleasure.
I'm so grateful.
You know, I got your back.
I appreciate it, girl. And I'm glad I had Nancy's back. So don't have my back like this. Don't jump on me.
Okay.
And hold my arms down with your legs.
I think you could take me, though.
Girl,
you know, I'm a 5-footer.
I'm still cramped up. This was 3 weeks ago. I was like, why is my side tingling? Because I jumped on Nancy's back and tried to choke her out and she tapped out. And then I got assault charges so that I could. It's like how it started and how it's going.
I hope Terrence, like, really understands and knows this.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Should I tell him? Because then if I tell him, he's going to think I'm violent. If I tell him, he might think I'm a stalker. So I don't know. Should I tell him or play it cool?
I think you should tell him.
I might scare him, though.
I think it just shows your passion.
Oh, okay. See, I like that. It's not fear. It's passion.
Right.
It's not stalking. It's passion.
Right.
I like the way you put that together.
Thank you. Got to have a positive spin.
Yes, yes, yes. We are no Debbie Downers over here. Thank you again, Miss Jen, for coming in. I love the
shirts.
My
pleasure.
Thank you for my grumpy friend at Avenue Shirts in St. Paul on Arlington, right off of White Bear Avenue. Did an amazing job in a quick turnaround. We'll see how Terrence likes it when he comes in at 1:30. There is already drama in this presidential election, and we have not gotten started in earnest. Dean Phillips tosses his hat into the ring, as they say. I'm not sure why they say there's a ring, hat, cornhole, something going on. I don't know. But he said, you know what? I think I can do this. I think I can run for president. I got a shot. I'm put my name down there with the other two people. Put my name down. I'm good. I'm coming in hot. And the next thing you know, he's got, you know, social media pages set up and everybody's following them so we can keep up with the campaign and know what's going on. And all of a sudden, his Twitter account gets suspended. We're like, what did he say? What happened? I just saw the post. I don't remember anything being offensive. Then the Twitter account got reinstated. It's just, it's already bananas. People are picking sides. Somebody's got to make some sense about it, okay? So I called my friend Brian McDaniel from Hilden Advocacy and Law. He is joining me right now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Brian, what in the hell is going on?
Good Lord, Shaletta. It is, whenever I think that politics has got as crazy as it can get, then, with the Tom Emmer stuff, and now with Dean Phillips running for president, I'm constantly surprised. This is fascinating on a lot of different levels, and I'm just glad that Minnesota is politically relevant again. Good for us.
You know, they have national reporters coming to Minnesota right now. Yeah. National political reporters are going live. They're talking about Minnesota on all the political shows. They are talking about Tom Emmers. They are talking about Dean Phillips. Where are we? What is our identity here in Minnesota? Because, you know, before they were talking about Governor Walz and how the Democrats pushed all this legislation through. Carrie Dietze got in there, even though she is battling cancer, and got everybody to stick together. And so many brand new legislations for families and making sure that, you know, we provide free meals at schools, and so many things got passed through. So, you know, they're talking about him as the secretary of this or secretary of that, if somebody runs. And now we got Dean Phillips running for president. And then we got Tom Emmers, who may be Speaker of the House. Oh, wait a minute. He's not Speaker of the House. I've gone through a lot of popcorn.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a lot of cigarettes, and my blood pressure is high, fooling with these Minnesota politicians are supposed to be nice. They're supposed to sit back and cool out. They have been acting like Texas politicians up here.
Well, and not to mention that Senator Amy Klobuchar was largely considered the next Minnesota person to be considered for a presidential run. So when Tim Walz's name was brought up, you know, albeit by other people, not by Tim Walz, we were always kind of, you know, joking to ourselves that Amy Klobuchar is going to have to take him out. And now for Dean Phillips to run to the front of the line, it's shocking. And I can tell you why it's a good thing or why it's a bad thing. Which route do you want me to take?
I want to know why it is a good thing.
Okay, here's why what Dean Phillips is doing is a good thing. Now, you know Dean Phillips, and I know Dean Phillips. Dean Phillips is not crazy. Dean Phillips is not stupid. And until this, I did not think that Dean Phillips was interested in any kind of vanity project. But putting that aside for a moment, why this is good is Dean Phillips has been consistent in saying that the most important thing for the Democrats to do is make sure that Donald Trump does not become president again. And his fear, Dean Phillips's fear, is that, you know, an elderly Joe Biden, who absolutely shows evidence of kind of diminished capacity, if that's a nice way to say it, that if someone like that runs against Donald Trump, that Joe Biden is likely to lose. And why Dean Phillips is right is, you know, right now, you know, I look at polling all the time. You know, for people who haven't heard me on here before, my, you know, real job is politics. So I'm looking at polling numbers all the time. And the latest polls, which albeit it's too early, the latest polls have Trump way up in Pennsylvania, have Trump almost winning Minnesota. People are negatively reacting to some of the things that Joe Biden is doing and saying. And Dean Phillips is saying that it is important for Democrats in America to have a younger person run and, you know, be able to, you know, keep up with Donald Trump and inspire the young people. So what Dean is doing, if we want to give him the benefit of good intentions, is Dean is saying it's too important. This next election is too important to leave it up to an 80-something-year-old person who might not be mentally or physically healthy enough to go through another big campaign.
And, you know, I just remember when Hillary was running for president, you know, it was, quote unquote, Hillary's turn. Right. Mm-hmm. And Barack Obama came into the race and he was a laughing stock. You know, people were like, who's this dude? He just got here. He's a junior senator. Nobody's going to vote for him. And the next thing you know, he is president of the United States of America. So for people who want to count Dean Phillips out, who say, you know what, he does not stand a snowball chance in Hades. What do you say to them?
Well, here's what I would say. I think they're probably right. I think Dean Phillips doesn't have much of a chance. He's already missed the primary filing deadline in states like Nevada. You know, in South Carolina, he's going to get destroyed. He's going to do well in New Hampshire, but Joe Biden isn't going to be on the ballot in New Hampshire. So while what you're saying is 1,000% correct, nobody knew who Barack Obama was. Nobody knew who Bill Clinton was. It is possible to gain momentum, but that usually doesn't happen against a sitting president in the same party. And I was on Almanac last night with Abu Amara and Javier Murillo and Annette Meeks, and we all kind of were of the same opinion that the strategy being employed by Dean Phillips is escaping us because we don't see what the win is. Also, you know, he's working with a guy, Steve Schmidt, who is like a disgraced Republican strategist. So he's not surrounding himself with the right people either. But I respect Dean. I like Dean. I think Dean represents his district wonderfully, which just makes what he's doing all the more hard to understand.
All right. We got to get a handle on this. We got to understand it better. We're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to continue to talk the hottest thing in politics right now, Minnesota elections, when we come back. We're the talk of the town, honey, and not just our town. Towns all over the country are talking about Minnesota politicians. We've been talking about Dean Phillips, but Tom Emmer made news as well. I was looking for my boyfriend, David Peterlings, over at Care 11 when I went to the studio to talk about my autism job fair, and he was gone. And I said, where is he? They said he's gone to Washington, D.C., because Tom Emmer may run for Speaker of the House. And I mean, I just got whiplash. I'm like, oh, my God, what is going on here? What went down with that? Because he was in and then he was out.
Yeah, well, Tom Emmer, I'm so proud of him. You know, Tom is somebody who I've known 20 years. I was staff for him when he was in the Minnesota House of Representatives. I supported him when he ran for governor. I consider him a friend. You know, we've done many projects together. And, you know, but with that being said, I didn't want him to be Speaker of the House. This current crop of Republican U.S. representatives, they're dysfunctional. They are toxic in a lot of ways. And if Tom were to be Speaker, he would not be set up to succeed. But what had happened was Matt Gaetz had made a, from Florida, had made a motion to remove the current speaker, or what was the current speaker, Kevin McCarthy. That was successful, but then they had to pick a new speaker. And first, Steve Scalise from Louisiana tried to run unsuccessfully, couldn't get enough votes. Then Jim Jordan from Ohio couldn't get enough votes. And then Tom Emmer was largely seen as the most respected person, the person who could get the most votes from all the different parts of the Republican caucus. But he had a little bit of a problem in that he and Donald Trump were not particularly close. Now, for a lot of us and for your listeners to know, I'm Republican. I mean, this is, you know, I've been Republican as long as I can remember, but I'm not a Trump guy. There are a lot of Republicans that are not Donald Trump people. And Tom Emmer was somebody who had enough, you know, smarts, grace, and respectability that he wasn't falling in line with everything that Donald Trump was saying. So at first, Donald Trump was like, I don't like Tom Emmer. And then Donald Trump, you know, this is all via tweet, because that's what he does, or whatever platform he's on now. Then he was like, oh, no, Tom and I talked, and, you know, we're buddies now. And then after Tom gets chosen by the caucus, Donald Trump savages him, you know, calls him a rhino, which is Republican in name only, which some of us wear as a badge of honor, and some people take as a great insult. But he said, you know, Tom supports, you know, the stealing of the election, and Tom supports gay marriage, and Tom supports all of these things. And then Emmer just said, you know what? Forget this. I don't need the hassle. And so he withdrew his name. And I think that he came out, Tom Emmer, came out looking great, because it shows that he is very conservative, but also he's not tied to President Trump. So if Tom Emmer chooses to run for something else later in his career, I think that he's going to be able to defend himself against Democrats who say, well, you're just a Donald Trump clone, because he can point, he's got the receipts now, Shaletta, to say that's not true.
But we need him. We need a grown up in the room. We need somebody who is going to stand up and say, this is not what democracy looks like in those rooms where there are only Republicans. So, Tom, you know, talk to me about the fact that, you know, the grown ups in the room don't even want to deal with the foolishness.
Yeah, well, Tom Emmer absolutely is what's best for the United States of America.
Yes, that's why I was like, we need him. Can you please just muscle through this? Can you please choke this down and go ahead and do this for all of us,
well,
bro?
But here's what could happen, Shaletta. It's not going to happen, but what could have happened was that because most Republicans in that caucus would be very happy to vote for Tom. If some of the Democrats said, you know what, for the good of the nation, we're going to vote for Tom too, Tom would be Speaker. But, you know, Republicans vote for Republicans, Democrats vote for Democrats, and so then we're stuck because not enough Republicans are going to vote for Tom. So I'm not blaming the Democrats. This is a Republicans' mess. But the Democrats could have saved the Republicans and thus kind of saved the nation, because the person who is Speaker now, some guy named Mike Johnson from Louisiana, he is offensively right-wing. And I'm saying that as a Republican. This guy is not going to conduct himself in a respectable manner. So I hope that this guy has a short run as Speaker, and then maybe they turn around and come back to Tom and say, hey, you know what? We see the error of our ways. Come in, Tom Emmer, and save the country. And I know that he would do it, because, you know, he has a strong sense of duty and public service. But I also am not politically naive enough to think that that's going to happen. The Republican Party is a little lost right now, and it's sad to see.
All right. So what's going to happen with us? Where do you see democracy going, because, you know, it used to be that we could all come together, Brian, and
yeah,
we can agree to disagree. But apparently where we are now, we can't even agree to disagree for the good of the country.
No.
We've gone, it's my way or the highway. I'm going to take my ball and go home. And that is not good for the future of our country.
No, but one thing that I'll say, though, is that, you know, when people say that we have a democracy problem, I don't agree. You know, as someone who, you know, teaches the Constitution and studies it and all that stuff, what's happening now is democracy. The problem is we're not getting the result that we want. But getting a bad result is not necessarily saying that there's something wrong with the process, because it's the American people that are choosing these leaders that don't know how to lead. You know, they're not just jumping up. You know, it's not the divine right of kings where they pull a sword out of a stone and say, I'm in charge now. We're putting them in charge. We are in control. We could pick better people, but we don't. Now, Minnesota, we have fantastic leaders here. I mean, granted, you know, I might not love Ilhan Omar, and you might not love Michelle Fischbach, but that's just politics. That's fine. But we pick people who have a strong dedication to public service. In other states, I don't know who is going to the polls and picking some of these clowns. But we need better people on the ballot and better choices to be made by not the politicians, but by the voters. We're putting them there. We're giving them our power, and they're doing bad things with it.
Do you see a reset? Is it, because I thought January 6th was going to be a reset. I thought that we saw something that we never thought we'd see in this country. American citizens scaling the wall, you know, trying to overturn an election, violating federal laws, stealing, you know, sacred artifacts from our Washington, D.C. federal buildings, and then not getting arrested, getting back on a plane, going home, posting about it on social media, and going back to work Monday like they had been to on a boys trip to, you know, Hawaii for a bachelor party or something.
I mean, there will be a reset, Shaletta, but I don't know when, and I don't know what it's going to be. I mean, let's think back. Somehow, the 1960s became the 1980s.
Oh, okay. I'm going to need you to stop, because that was deep. That was very profound. I don't think I heard that before. That is it. That is it. Oh, my God. I never thought about it.
So something is going to happen. Because those were two different Americas, separated by not that much time.
Yeah.
So absolutely, something will change us. I just don't know what it is yet. I mean, I think President Trump is losing control over many Republicans, but I also think he's beating Joe Biden in the polls. So those are two very different realities, both of which I think are true. But the 60s became the 80s, and the 90s became now. So things happen. We just don't know what they are yet.
Well, I appreciate you spending some time with us, handicapping this thing. You have a great Saturday. Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law. Don't go anywhere. There's more on The Shaletta Show coming up.